Today's word.
I am teaching on prayer, different aspects of prayer. And last week I talked about pray believing, and today I will speak about pray God's will. Pray God's will. One of the most important aspects of prayer is whether our prayer is in the will of God or not. And how we get to know whether our prayers are in the will of God or not. And so we will be considering that. It's a big topic, but I'm going to try to teach it in a short time in praying God's will. And my focus is going to be on the Lord's Prayer, or more appropriately, it should be the Christian's prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus modeled for his disciples, which is the model of prayer we use. And I'm going to use that as the background for my teaching on praying God's will. Both the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew record the Lord's Prayer. But we will be considering for our teaching today Matthew's record of it. And the reason I'm doing that is because Matthew's record of the Lord's Prayer comes in the context of a larger teaching of Jesus Christ. It's in Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 6 is part of the sermon from Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Jesus' most extensive teaching, recorded teaching, is the Sermon on the Mount. And somewhere along the line, he teaches on prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, from the beginning, he talks about prayer. He talks about praying the right way. He tells his disciples, don't pray like the Pharisees and the hypocrites. Don't pray for show. Don't go and stand at the marketplace and raise up your voice and just make a show of prayer. And then he says, when you pray, don't use repetitive words, saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. And don't pray just long prayers, thinking that your prayer will be heard because of length. All these are things that we have to take seriously in Ghana, in our prayer life. And then he talks about the fact that when you're praying, you have to be in an intimate relationship with God. He says you go to your closet. Doesn't mean go and lock yourself in a room. It simply means that it's between you and God. It's you and God communing. And then after he had said all of that, he gave them a model for prayer. This, it says, in this manner you should pray. So he gives them a model. And so that's what we're going to look at and what that model says to us about prayer. Pray God's will. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when you study the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not teaching on the Lord's Prayer, I'm just using that to teach on praying God's will. But when you look at the Lord's Prayer, you can divide it into two main parts. The first part is what I call the your, your prayers. And then the second part is the our prayer. So in the first part of the Lord's Prayer, it's your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then in the second part, give us, forgive us, lead us. So the first part is about God, and the second part is about us. And the first part is the most crucial because it sets the tone for prayer, and it tells us how prayer should be made or mindset we should have during prayer. So the first statement I want to make before I go into the heart of the teaching is that the essence of prayer is alignment with God. The essence of prayer is alignment with God. Alignment simply means to be in the same line, to be in the same line, come on the same line with God. So when we're praying, we're trying to be in alignment with God. We want our line to be where God's line is. We want to be in alignment with God. That's the essence of prayer. It's alignment with God. There is a very popular saying, and I have used it before. I'm sure some of you have also used it before. And some we say things like something like prayer changes things. How many of you have heard that statement before? Prayer changes things. All right. Now, so when we say prayer changes things, the question logically is, what things does prayer change? Does prayer change God? No, because God does not change. So if prayer changes things, logically, it means that what changes or what must change when we pray is us. And not only us, the things we are talking to God about will also change. But the change is not Godward, the change is usward, manward. Prayer changes things. So prayer is a transformative power. It's a vehicle God uses to change us so that we can align with Him. And when we align with Him, then we receive the answer to our prayer. The essence of prayer is alignment with God. So I'm going to talk about basically three ways in which we should be aligned with God in prayer. The first is that our prayers must be aligned with God's name. God's name, Jesus prayed and said, "Hallowed be your name," or if you would be more lyrical, "Hallowed be your name." Hallowed be your name. God, as I'm praying, the reason what I'm praying is for your name to be hallowed, for your name to be honored, for your name to be glorified, for your name to be magnified. So what does it tell us about prayer? It tells us that God answers prayer to honor His name. God doesn't answer prayer because your situation is sad, it's painful, it's hurtful, you're going through a tough time. And yes, you're going through a tough time and the situation is bad, but the essence of prayer is not to relieve you of your bad situation. The essence of prayer is for God's name to be hallowed. So whatever God does in prayer, it must be something that hallows His name. So I am praying and I have a big need, or I have a big problem, which all of us have. And we come to God and we say, "God, this is this." And then sometimes we're talking to Him very, very, very speedily. "God, if you don't do this and do that and do that, do that." And God says, I hear you. But the reason why I'm going to do it is because my name must be hallowed. That's the first thing. So I'm going to do it for you. But remember, I'm not doing it for you because your case is bad. I'm doing it because my name must be hallowed. So at the center of everything we pray for is the hallowing of God's name. And because that is at the center of prayer, everything God does in prayer, His acts must be consistent with who He is. God's acts are consistent with who He is. So if God is going to answer my prayer, what He does must be consistent with who He is, because it must be consistent with His name. Because when the Bible talks about the name of the Lord, it's not just talking about a sound we used to call God, but it is describing His nature and His character. So when I pray and I say, "God, I need so-and-so from you," and God says, "I'm going to do it," what would make God say He would do it? What He does must be consistent with who He is. If my prayer is asking God to do something that is not consistent with His character, he would not do it. Because the prayer must hallow his name. So, for example, God cannot defraud somebody else or create fraud in order to answer your prayer. He can't, because it is inconsistent with his nature. So, for example, if I pray and I say, I need money, God, I need money, I need money, I need money. Lord, let the heavens be open. Let the rains bring money, or let money rain, whichever. And God says, I'm going to answer that prayer. He's not going to give you physical money. So you cannot pray and receive bundles of money in your hand. You cannot pray and you go back to your house, you look under your bed and money is dashed out. Dollars, pounds, euro, and good old cities. Why would God not do that? Because money is legal tender on earth. It's not legal tender in heaven. Money is not printed in heaven. Money is legal tender and is printed specifically with numbers and with signature, approved signature. So if God is going to give you money physically when you pray, he must take it from somewhere. He must take it from somewhere. So he may have to go to the Bank of Ghana and illegally break into the vault of the Bank of Ghana, load money from there to give it to you. In doing that, he has committed fraud. Or God has to go to your neighbor's house, take his money, which is his, and say, now that guy is praying for money, and transfer that money to you. Then he has stolen. So then God cannot answer such a prayer because it does not hallow his name. It is inconsistent with who he is. God says what he has joined together, let no man put asunder. So you cannot ask God to do something for you that requires breaking up of somebody's marriage. So, for example, if you look at a lady who is married to a young man, you say, that man is not treating the girl well. I can treat her better. And so you pray and say, God, that your daughter deserves better. So I pray, Lord, for that woman. I understand your need, but God cannot dishallow himself in order to answer your prayer. For him to answer that prayer, he has to break his own word, that what he has joined together, it must not be put asunder, in order for you to have your prayer answered. So that prayer, as urgently, powerfully, as you prayed, you may fast for more than 40 days. You can do 41 days. You can do 45 days. God will not answer a prayer that does not hallow his name. He cannot do that. So one of the ways to align ourselves in prayer with God is that the things we are asking for must be things that hallow the name of God. And if you go anywhere, you go to a prayer meeting, and somebody says, I can pray. Or somebody says, I'm praying, we're praying, and money is dropping somewhere from the spirit realm into the platform, and people are collecting it. I can guarantee you, it is not God. God did not answer that prayer. If God did not answer that prayer, who did? The one to whom stealing, defrauding, killing, and destroying is his nature is the one who did it. And he's called the thief, and sometimes called directly Satan. But you say, but it happened in church. It doesn't matter. The Bible, Jesus says, in that day, many will come and say, Lord, we did this in your name. We did it in your name. And he would say, I never knew you. Now, he didn't say, you didn't do it. He says, I didn't know you, but you did it. You did it, but I was not in it. There are people who are praying prayers that are not going to God.
and they are seeing things happen. If the prayer is not hallowing God, but it happened, then who answered it? So, the first alignment
is to the name of the Lord.
Our prayer must be premised on hallowing the name of God. The second thing that Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer is that our prayer must be aligned with God's kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. The kingdom of God is not a place. It is God's rule. It's God's authority. So when we pray and say, God, let your kingdom come, we are saying, Lord, rule over this situation. So why does God answer our prayer? God answers our prayer to establish his rule in our lives. That's why God is answering your prayer, so his kingdom will come. So his rule, his authority will be seen in my life and in your life. And because it is about God's rule and God's kingdom, you cannot pray and be stubbornly resistant to God at the same time. Now, I mean, none of us lives a perfect life. I mean, we all sometimes do things and we're sorry. We say, Lord, forgive us. We say things to people, we get angry, we get upset. And some, you know, we do stuff that is wrong sometimes in our thoughts, in our relationships, and so on and so forth. But most of the time, when a Christian does something wrong, they return to God. They go back to God. But when you are a Christian and you are stubbornly, persistently, consistently doing the wrong thing and still expecting God to answer your prayer, it's not going to happen because his kingdom is not ruling in your heart. Your kingdom come. God, rule over my life. Prayer changes things. What does it change? Me. Changes me first. Doesn't change God. We don't pray to change God. We pray so that we can be aligned with God's will. And that's why Jesus taught us about the link between our prayer and the life we live. You know, last week I taught from Mark chapter 11, from verse 24. Whatever things you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When you pray, believe, you receive, you shall have them. That's verse 24. Verse 25, which I didn't get to last week, Jesus says, and when you stand praying, the verse 24, forgive if you have anything against somebody else. Jesus actually said, if you're going to make a sacrifice and you remember that you have a problem, big time problem with somebody, go and deal with a big time problem before you continue. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, when all of us have issues with people, every human being has issues with people. Every human being. I haven't seen any human being who doesn't have issues with somebody. Everybody, you have issues sometimes with your friend. He's your good friend, but you just have issues with him. Sometimes you have issues with people in the office. You don't get along. That's not what the Bible is talking about when you have something against somebody. It's talking about when you are bitter against somebody to the extent that you hate the person so much so that you wish they were dead. That's the kind of hatred Jesus talked about. He says that is equal to murder. So when you're going to pray and you realize, as for this guy, hey, may God fire him. If that's how you feel about that person, Jesus says, when you start praying, he said, Heavenly Father, I present my request before you. Then you remember, that guy, I don't check him well. I don't check. I have to go and resolve it. So Jesus says, stop the prayer in the middle sentence. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you, all right, I remember.
Then you go to see the guy and say, Charlie, I've just been praying and I remember that we haven't sorted out our deal. And let me tell you, plain, plain, I wish you were dead. But I need to answer to my prayer over there. And so I forgive you. Forgive you. May you live, may you prosper. May you have twins and triplets and quadruplets. May the Lord make you better than myself. If you can say that wholehearted, may the Lord make you better than myself. May he bless you so much that I will glorify God for you. Now you have sorted up your case, so you can go to God and say, Father, okay, I pause the prayer. Now, Lord, I have sorted out the unforgiveness and continue your prayer. Are you getting? Now, when you do that, what has happened? His kingdom, his rule, his authority has overruled your anger, your pain, and what you feel. Because now you say, although I feel it and I don't like it, I am more obedient to God. So it's against my instinct, but because God says it, he overrules me. His kingdom has come into my life. I am now not living for myself. I am living under the rule of God. So that's what Jesus says. Your kingdom come. It also means that when God answers our prayer, his acts demonstrate his rule over all dominions, principalities, and powers. When God answers our prayer, there's nothing greater and higher than him that he cannot resolve. And there is no force that is greater than him that can prevent him from doing what he wills to do. There is no demon, there's no principality, there's no power that is so formidable as to keep God from doing what he wants to do to establish his rule in your life. And so for every demonic power, for every entity, God overrules it. Whatever it is, it could be a demon that knows your name. It could be a demonic power that lives in your family, has been in your family for a long time. But when God's kingdom comes, every other kingdom is subject to him. His kingdom overrules every other kingdom. So we align with God's kingdom. How do we align? By making sure that our actions, even though it's difficult for us, we willingly and willfully take God's way instead of our way. And mostly in the area of forgiveness, Jesus spoke a lot about it because that's one of the areas we all have problems. There are people that you really, it's difficult for you to forgive because they are bad people. But God says, Jesus says, if you want me to hear you, although you think they are bad people and you wish that fire from heaven will burn them, forgive them. How do I know you've forgiven them? Is that you're able to pray and say, Lord, bless them more than me. That's what God told Abraham to do. Abraham had no child with his wife, Sarah. And then a man tries to sleep with Sarah. Abimelech, Pharaoh. And God warns the king and says, hey, that's Abraham's wife, leave her alone. Now, if you are a man and you hear that some man wanted to mess with your wife, then later you get to know the man himself, he too, he doesn't have children. What would be your prayer? As long as you live, Jehovah, may no child be born to this man. But God told Abraham, go and pray for him who tried to mess up your life, that he will have children ahead of you. That's your kingdom come. That's what your kingdom comes means. This man, as you pray that he should have children, yes. Ahead of Sarah, yes. Then Abraham had to submit and say, well, Father, bless him, let his wife have children. And the Bible says, and after that, Sarah also conceived. Did you see the kingdom accepting God's rule in his life, align him with God, and his own wife conceived? How do we know he forgave the man? Because he prayed for the man's wife to have children. How do you know you're forgiving the guy the day you go or you're praying and say, Lord, bless him, make him greater than me? I've prayed that prayer many times, and it's the hardest prayer to pray. It's one of those prayers that you're praying and you say, I wish this prayer is not of faith. I wish I'm doubting. I just truly wish I am doubting that God will not answer that prayer. But you have to get to the point where you truly say, Lord, bless him, make him greater. And if you can pray that prayer for somebody you dislike, you're forgiving him. That's all. That's my simple solution. I'm not going to teach you step one, do this, step two, do this, step three. I'm just saying, pray for the person, something that God should do for the person better than you. Once you get there, you've forgiven him. That your classmate who gossiped about you and sends story about him, pray that he'll prosper and have dollar account and pound account and stand account. And rare lions as pets. Finally. Our prayers must align with God's will. Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God answers prayer according to his will.
Life-transforming messages, anointed ministrations, uplifting praise and worship. Experience God's presence and power at Greater Works 2024. Speakers, Pastor Matthew Ashimolowo, Bishop Tudor Bismarck, Bishop Mike Okwonkwo, and host, Pastor Mensah Otterbill. Date, Monday 29th July to Friday 2nd August. Morning sessions from Tuesday 30th July to Friday 2nd August, time 9 a.m. Evening sessions, time 5 p.m. each night. Venue, ICGC Christ Temple East,